Good morning, folks. You're listening to Right Side Up with your host, Bill Huff and Mike Tagliavia, where we're talking local politics with an emphasis on what's happening in your neighborhood. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, and folks, just so everybody is clear, we're not talking about me and Bill being an item, okay? I know this is Vermont, but this is our anniversary. Somewhere around this date last year was our first show.
I think we're actually like the 53rd week. We probably missed our 1 year on air by a week, or it might be two. But anyway, that's kind
we
of
made
a milestone. That's a milestone.
It's a milestone,
for sure.
Us.
Yeah.
And I am very thankful that we got the opportunity. I'm thankful that we're still on the air.
Oh, me too. It's a lot of fun.
This is not work to me. I enjoy the hell out of this.
Yeah, it is, and I tell you, just based on the feedback that we do get,
yes,
man, we're educating people. When I see somebody on the street and they're saying, hey, I listened to the show the other day, inevitably they have a question. Well, geez, you were talking about this, Bill, or you were talking about what's the deal with that? So I think we're doing a good job out here,
and I hope that people are not only finding out from us what is going on, they're actually finding, going on and finding the website to look at what's going on in Montpelier on their own, because there's so much to find out. It's not going to leave them with a good taste in their mouth when they're done, but at least, like you said, they'll be informed, they'll be educated, know what the supermajority is up to.
I figure that's our mission.
Yes,
that's our mission.
Yeah.
We're trying to be informative,
yeah.
and informative, yes, but trying to motivate people too.
Yes, that too.
To yeah. participate,
rally the troops
exactly. in democracy. Right,
yeah.
Democracy is such a big buzzword these days.
Yes, it is. It's one of those words. It's abused.
Yes. Incredibly so.
Yes.
What did I hear today? Now, so the left, the Democratic Party, did everything they could to keep Kennedy out of the primaries.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. In the name of democracy.
Yes. And he was denied how many times? Denied Secret Service protections, regardless of how many threats were against him.
Yeah.
What a joke.
But now they're so worried that some other third party, Jill Stein or somebody's going to run. Now they're actually looking at court activity to try to stifle any third party from being on the ticket. There you go. How's that for democracy, Mike?
I don't think that's
sue them so the people won't have a choice.
Yeah. Lawfare.
That's
yes.
democracy with a big D, little
yeah.
D. I don't care, whatever.
I don't know. They
baloney.
All need an L.
It's a bad
they need an
B.
L on the forehead.
Yeah, big B is baloney.
Yeah, I didn't see that where they're trying to go to court
oh, yeah.
to prevent a third party.
Oh yeah, this is new because now they're worried. About Biden, so yeah. Now they're doing
damn
anything
sure
they
should
can.
Be.
Well, and there's the no name party. I mean, they're still trying to get candidates and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
So they're afraid that depending on the candidate, if they actually ever do get one,
right.
that's going to pull votes from Joe, and so they're already working on lawsuits to try to prevent the people from actually having the choice.
Well, Joe is. His own worst enemy. Okay, forget that he gets lost on stage. Forget that he can't read a prompter. Forget that he's got this sundowning issue because of his age and everything. What about the corruption? There isn't very much talk about the corruption, except on certain websites.
Yeah, yeah. You don't hear a lot about it unless you're listening
yeah.
to certain
yeah.
certain shows or, yeah. or certain websites. But
and you're talking about a major RICO case if they ever got into court. I mean,
oh, yeah.
forget it.
Yeah,
there'd be a lot of kids, and grandkids being foster care in that family.
The secret documents. What are
the classified
documents? I mean, by itself.
Yes.
Just look at that.
All the payments and the loan, the supposed loan repayments,
the
paper trail is incredible.
Anyway, while we're off the topic of local, there was a story out this last week, and I just wanted to touch on it real quick.
That one is really local, but it's not. I mean, it could be because every state now is a border state.
Right. It's about
and
the
border.
We
are actually a border.
So state. this actually happened on the southern border, but okay. we know because of the discussions we've had that we've got issues here on the northern border as well.
Yes,
but this was telling. This was out of the New York Post, and it was just this last week. Illegal migrant from Lebanon, not New Hampshire.
Okay,
Lebanon on the Mediterranean. Caught at the border, admitted he's Hezbollah terrorist, hoping to make a bomb, and was headed to New York City.
Well, they see all this stuff going on the news, right? Because everything is local. You can go on the internet, you can see everything you want to see all around the world. So this guy is so emboldened, he figures the border's so wide open, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't matter anymore.
So it was Basil Ebedi, 22, was caught by Border Patrol on March 9th near El Paso, Texas, so the southern border. He claimed in an interview that he had been trying to flee Lebanon and Hamas because he didn't want to kill people and said, once you're in, you can never get out. So it didn't take him too long to figure out that, oops, I made a mistake, you can't say that I'm headed to New York to make a bomb. No, all of a sudden now I'm being persecuted. Yeah. Oh yeah, they were trying to get me to do all kinds of stuff that I didn't want, so I had to leave, and that's why I came across the southern border. But of course, over the course of the interview, Abadi said in a sworn interview after his arrest that he had trained with Hezbollah for 7 years and served as an active member guarding weapons locations for another 4 years. Adabi's training focused on jihad, killing people that were not Muslim. This is his words.
That's jihad, yep.
Yeah. So the border agents continue to see a surge in migrants whose names appear on the terrorist watch list entering the U.S. illegally, and crossings continue to hit record levels.
And this brings up another question. We always talk about it. What about the gotaways? What about one of his brothers in arms who slipped past?
Well, that you know, what scares you is what you don't know.
Yeah.
So, what is there? 100? Well, the last count there was 170, 180 known people that we've actually caught on the terror watch list. 85% of which have crossed the northern border, not the southern border. Yeah. This is crazy. If you don't think
makes you feel like it's not if but when.
Well, of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. Well, look like what happened in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
140 some odd people dead, went into a music theater, gunned everybody down. You don't think that's being planned? You don't think there are sleeper cells right here in this country after allowing 8-9 million people to come across that southern border?
I'm not that foolish. I know it's just a matter of if.
Well, it is. It's a matter of time, which is really too bad. But hey, on the good front, and we do try to include some New Hampshire news as often as we can. So I did see this here, I think it was last week. So we're a little bit late, but there was word that the New Hampshire Senate passed a sanctuary city ban. It was a 14-10 vote, highlighted the stark policy differences between Granite State Republicans and Democrats on illegal immigration. So this was Senate Bill 563, sponsored by Senator Bill Gagnon, a Republican from Sandown. It prohibited state and local government entities from adopting sanctuary policies to prohibit or impede the enforcement of federal immigration law. It also instructs local law enforcement officers to use best efforts to support the enforcement of federal immigration law. How about that?
Common sense.
Yep.
Common sense.
Yep. Unanimous Democratic opposition. But, you know, what's really? We can't even vote to support the laws that are on the books.
I
think this started during Obama.
How's that for oxymoronic?
We adhere to whatever laws we want, and if we don't like them, you forget about it. We're not going to bother with that law anymore.
Yeah, and look what's going on in our state. They're meeting, and they're going full bore ahead with new laws. Why? Why? There's plenty on the books that they don't want to even think about. Paying attention to.
You know,
they don't want to observe them.
I think about that every year. 1,200-1,400 new bills every year. Do we really need that many
new laws? No, we don't. No. Absolutely not.
Cut that session in half and do it every other year to save some money.
We could
get our business done. Pass a 2-year budget.
You want to
meet if you have to, yeah, for a budget reconciliation in the off years if you have to. But other than that, don't even bother to meet.
Right. And do it like New Hampshire does it, where they get paid, what, $100 and plus a little bit per diem?
I think there may be some per diem involved. Maybe, but I'm not even sure. But yeah, their salary is $100 per session. So however long, how many ever months they're there, it's $100.
It sounds to me like they're acting more like public servants than they are up in Montpelier.
Well, of course they are. Yeah, they don't want to make that thing a career where they're paid a annual salary, yeah, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 benefits.
Yeah. I was just reading that's the way Congress was originally set up. They were all per diem. They didn't want to. It was set up. The framers, they knew what the heck they were doing.
Sure.
They didn't want salaried Congress people. Look what we got now.
Yeah. Oh, brother. Hey, one other thing here I wanted to touch on. The Democrats, I think they're starting to feel some heat, and deservedly so.
I would hope so.
So they got a bill here now, and the Vermont House passes a bill to create new retail theft penalty. They're going to get tough on crime, Mike.
What was wrong with the old retail theft policies?
Well, under current law, which they're the ones that did here, just in recent history, retail theft can either be a misdemeanor or a felony, depending on the value of the property that a person steals. If that figure totals $900 or less, the charge is a misdemeanor. But if it surpasses $900, the charge bumps up to a felony. So we're talking about H-534, and it's aimed at repeat offenders, repeat shoplifters. Because what they want to try to do is consolidate all their crimes together, so that if it eventually equals over $900, then they can be charged as a felony rather than a misdemeanor. No, okay, so it sounds pretty good so far, right?
Yeah, but I'm
there's a catch. Yeah, there's a catch.
I can see it. I can feel it.
The Democrats aren't really okay. No,
but they're going to try to count it as one crime, aren't they?
Here's the catch. Provided that the thefts occur within the same 2-week period and at retailers located within the same county.
Oh, who is the knucklehead who thought this up?
As long as you go across county lines and keep stealing, you can keep right on hauling.
So what is that? Tell me what that does. It encourages you.
Nothing.
It encourages you to leave the one county where you are committing crimes to go to another county to make that county less safe.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, spread the criminals around, the crime around a little bit. But this is what you see all the time. We're going to get tough on crime. Yeah, if we aggregate all the thefts, we're going to charge them with a felony now. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You don't think that, they're going to catch on to this? So in 2 weeks.
It won't take very long.
More than 15 days, you can come back to the same county and steal again.
Right. It's a waiting period.
Yeah.
You got
a waiting period before you can steal again. And then it's okay. Then it's just a misdemeanor. We'll scoot you out the door and say, come back next time.
I can just see the schedule on the criminal's smartphone.
Oh, well, yeah, they got to need a calendar to keep track of this.
I got to go to this county today, otherwise I'm going to be a felon.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can't believe we're talking about this kind of stuff.
Tough on crime Democrats. They were really going to put it to everybody.
Tough on crime.
Isn't that something?
I
couldn't believe it when I saw that.
One of those things you couldn't make this up.
No, you couldn't. And they didn't pull the wool over your eyes. As soon as I read it, I saw the expression on your face. Wait a minute.
There's a catch here.
They're not doing this in Montpelier.
Read the fine print.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Unbelievable. We got plenty more to come, so don't go away. We're going to be right back with more Right Side Up. You mess with her, you see a man get mad. She's my sweet little thing. She's my pride and joy. My sweet little baby, I'm my little lover boy. Welcome back. Mike and I have been talking about some of the crazy stuff that's happening in Montpelier. And of course, putting it lightly. Well, and the expensive stuff that's going on in Montpelier.
Yeah.
I don't know as I've ever seen a session quite as bad as this one, or if you combine it, you know, the last two of the biennium here, both sessions, this has got to be like the most expensive sessions
sounds like
ever.
Sounds like it would be best to just erase both of them.
Well, go from a $6 billion budget to $8.5 billion. And that's just the budget. That's the money that the state is spending, not what taxpayers are having to pay in additional fees, in additional taxes. It's just insane. It's crazy.
So you're talking about bills that made crossover?
Yeah. Okay. Yep, and there's a bunch of them that did.
Can I interrupt you 1 second?
Sure.
Are any of them going to make Vermont more affordable?
Oh, yeah. You know, according to the left, oh, yeah, you're going to be so happy, Mike, with all the additional taxes and fees.
Have they made Vermont safer?
Oh, sure. Oh, well, of course. You know, we don't want to incarcerate anybody. So, yeah, those people.
No. I'm talking about the law-abiding, hardworking Vermonters, not the criminals.
Well, we don't consider rank and file citizens in Vermont. We only care about the criminals, don't we?
Oh, I don't. I didn't get that memo.
No,
I'm sorry, I didn't get that memo.
Yeah.
Does it make education? Did any of these bills that make crossover? Are they going to improve education?
Oh, Act 127. We threw so much money at education, Mike.
No,
those kids are going to be so smart.
Let me be a little bit more specific. Are the proficiency scores, are these kids going to be prepared for college or their trade?
You see, we don't want to intimidate any child putting a number on their performance, you know, but we don't want to grade anybody, Mike. Oh, gee whiz. What generation are you living in?
Oh, man. Are you trying to tell me we can't use red ink? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Oh, red ink? Oh, that's long gone. No. We don't even use grades, ABC, 80s, 70s.
No, we haven't gotten as bad as Oregon, right? All you have to do is have a pulse to get a diploma?
Well, pretty much. I'm not even sure they use pass-fail anymore. I'm not sure anybody fails. I don't know if it makes any
difference. No, I think we've gotten to a point where it's just social promotion. We don't want to make them feel
social
bad,
promotion. So. Now, there you go. That's a good term. I haven't heard that one. Social promotion.
You never heard that one?
No.
Yeah, I heard that one a few years ago. I was like, what the hell is social promotion?
Well, that's got a ring to it. We don't want them to feel bad.
A little off topic, but I saw another one on the web in one of my various searches. DEI. Very easy. I call it participation without qualification. This is much simpler. Didn't earn it.
Oh, there you go.
Perfect. It's freaking perfect.
Yeah, going to give it to him anyway. Didn't earn it, but going to give it to him anyway.
So,
yep, there you go. There's a social promotion.
Do you think
the social promotion? Just give it to
them. I triggered
anyway.
A few people. There's people taking notes. Oh man, I can't believe you said that.
Oh my word. So some of the stuff that is happening in Montpelier, House Ways and Means Committee considering extending the sales tax to online software and a new 10% surcharge on short-term rentals. As
good
a potential
grief,
new revenue
Charlie
source
Brown.
To mitigate a portion of the expected double-digit hike in education property taxes. So that shortfall in the ed fund is somewhere between $200 and $300 million. And they are just, beside themselves trying to figure out what they can tax that's going to pull another $200 to $300 million out of Vermonters' pockets.
That's just insane.
Yeah. So short-term rentals. If you do a B&B,
your B&B is going to be more expensive.
Well, I was just, I froze there for a second because I was thinking of a friend of mine.
Well,
I think she rents, one little log cabin in Versher.
Right.
And now, you know what?
Well,
they got to throw a tax on that thing. So,
and
I
here's
mean, it helps
the lie.
Her, it helps her make ends meet, for crying out loud.
Here's the lie. Okay. I know what your friend is going to have to do. She's going to have to add the cost to the weekly rental or monthly rental, whatever it is.
Well, hey, it's probably not Vermonters that
the
rent
way
it,
it's,
so who cares? Tax.
Well,
yeah.
But they'll sell it as, they can afford it because they've got this rental. No, they're not going to eat the cost. It's going to get passed along
to
the consumer.
this friend of mine, I think she depends on that to probably make ends meet.
Sure.
You know.
Right.
I think it's probably the only reason that she's doing it. But anyway, that $200 to $300 million shortfall. Yeah, so now they're looking at a surcharge on short-term rentals. They're already looking at software, candy, soft drinks, clothing. We told you about the unrealized capital gains tax that they're considering last week. A wealth tax now.
I was just reading, and I think it was a Digger article. They're looking at raising $100 million with that one.
Well, there you go. There's a third of it.
You and I have talked about this. People with the means are going to find ways to not have to deal with that tax.
Well, the top 1%, and we talked about this a couple months ago. The top 1%. With the updated figures, are paying well over 40%, 42-43% of the total income tax liability for the entire state as it stands right now. And you're only talking about 3,200 people.
Yeah.
That's the top 1%.
Go after them. The ideology of jealousy and envy.
Yeah. But
it's the rich.
But then you look at the top 10%, and the figures 2 years ago, it was over 90%. The top 10% already pays
99%.
Yeah. And then some new numbers came out. Somebody pointed that out to me, and I think it dropped to like 70% or so. But still, they're that top 10%. And we looked at the charts, and anybody over $155,000, I think, was included in that top 10%.
Right.
So it's not like you're ultra wealthy.
No, not at all. Not after expenses. You know, paying, not even close.
By far the brunt of the taxes. But you're right. We did talk about using the income tax as a way to fund this ed fund, because that's another thing that they would love to do, because everybody's so upset about their real estate taxes. Well, it's tax income. We'll just make the rich pay. And I told you last week, my word, don't ever fall for that one.
No,
the people that are wealthy don't work for W-2. They don't work so much an hour.
No,
they work for rents, royalties, capital gains. There are buys and sell, different deals that make money, and it's very simple, very easy to move income around, shift income legally, absolutely perfectly legally, to avoid taxes. And you know who can't do that? You and I, the middle class,
the hourly wage.
Yeah, anybody that's working for a W-2.
Yep.
When that happens, when they start taxing the wealthy, so-called wealthy, and they just naturally find a way to shift income, postpone it, whatever, the bill's still there, and somebody's got to pay. Who's going to pay? It's going to be us. We're the ones that are going to be left holding the bag.
Yep.
Don't fall for this bull. That they're just going to tax the wealthy. No, we would all pay. We would all be hurting.
Yes, we would. And the thing you need to remember is have a long memory. Come November, remember who imposed the pain on you.
Yes. Yeah, that ed fund, $2.2 billion. Of course, a lot of it comes from Fed funds. But the state contribution is substantial. And just stop and think about that for a second. If we had 400,000 taxpayers paying that ed fund at the math. Holy smokes, man. You think taxes are bad now? You just wait. You just wait until, you try to fund the ed fund off from income.
It's going to leave your wallet bruised up good.
It's just absolutely unsustainable. Yeah, so a couple other bills. I did want to mention that this segment here before time gets away from us. We talked a lot about S-258, and that was the Fish and Wildlife Board.
Yeah, I read that.
The Fish and Wildlife Board.
Crest.
So I haven't heard a lot about it recently, but I think what happened is, I know it passed out of Senate Natural Resources 5-0, which we anticipated it was going to do. 4 out of the 5 sponsored that bill, even though they had no clue. Senator White, admitted to me that she didn't know anything about the anti-groups that were pushing that bill. Absolutely ignorant of the history of this bill and how it all got started.
Well, and then why would you go for something like that? I don't understand.
I don't know. So, you know, somebody's pushing these people to do that, even though they don't have a clue about the bill. They're that ideologically driven or whatever it is. But then I think it went to appropriations for a week, and I'm not sure why. There's a little bit of money involved there, but not a whole lot. But it passed out of there, and it passed the Senate, I believe, before crossover, which was last Friday.
I think it did. I think you're correct.
So now... Now it should go to House Natural Resources or whatever that committee is that handles the fish and wildlife things. But we'll have that information for you soon, because now we're going to have to start putting pressure on the House to kill this thing. I can tell you that it was modified, substantially modified.
But I think it still goes
Well, it still takes all the power away from the Fish and Wildlife Board.
It just makes them an advisory panel.
Yeah. Well, that was the intent of the anti-groups. They were angry because they couldn't get their way with the board. So they want the board destroyed to put it back in the hands of the legislature, which they can control.
Yeah.
I mean, there's proof of that every time. Every time one of these bills come up, they can easily manipulate their representative. So, yeah, they're trying to get it into the political process, take it away from the Fish and Wildlife Board. And you talk to any sportsman, anybody that fishes or hunts, there's more game, more animals out there right now, healthier, larger, more robust deer herds, fisher populations, otter population, whatever it is, than years ago when the legislature did have their hands on it. Yeah.
So you're going to take something that's working, and you're going to break it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it will, because historically, if you look back when the legislature was in charge of deer seasons and all this other stuff, number one, it tied up a tremendous amount of their time. And two, the political process, because that's what the legislature does,
right?
Didn't care about the animals. It was all political. And so animal populations suffered. We've got probably twice the number of deer now, healthier deer now, and twice the numbers than we did back when the legislature was in charge of this thing.
Yeah.
So just absolutely horrible. But we're going to keep you posted on that one for sure. But here's another one we've talked about, some H-289. This is the renewable energy standard. So we had the Clean Heat Standard, part of that Global Warming Solutions Act. So this is just more... And, of course, there's a big dispute how much it's going to cost, depending on who you ask. The Public Service Department came out, I think, a couple of weeks ago, said it could cost upwards of $1 billion in higher electrical costs for everybody.
$1 billion?
Yeah, over the next 10 years. Just phenomenal. And of course, the idea is that everything is going to be renewable by 2032, I think it is. So in just a few short years, well, you stop and think about that. How many solar panels, how many windmills are we going to have to put up to even meet that? But half of that cost is in the infrastructure then, because you've created a new electrical generation station that you have to connect to the grid.
Yeah.
So it's not just the wind towers. It's not just the solar panels. It's trying to connect them.
We don't have,
as well.
We don't have the time.
Yeah.
To get all of that infrastructure online.
Well, no, time.
We
time
just don't have the time.
So the legislature, in particular, the left got kind of upset that $1 billion number came out. So they got the Joint Fiscal Office to come out and say, it might only be $400 million, but the assumption is that they're able to place these new electrical gentrification stations nearby existing power lines so that they cut the cost of the infrastructure down. Crazy.
There's going to be more to this.
Well, in my mind, $450 million?
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous, especially when you consider Governor Scott's got a plan that'll only cost you $100 million. It'll do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
More to come. Be right back. My pride and joy. She and my sweet little baby is all right. Lie to me. Tell me that you'll stay here tonight.
You're listening to Right Side Up. My name is Mike Taglavia. My co-host is Bill Huff.
Lie to me, little bit of Johnny Lang.
Lie to me. Why do you think we came up with this song?
Yeah, where do you get this? Lie to me.
Yeah, well, you know what? I just think it's kind of part of the theme that we're talking about that's going on in Montpelier. So I thought that was a good one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, apropos, like you said.
So before we get too deep into it, I want to remind our listeners they can email us at rightsideupradio@gmail.com. If you miss the show, you can go to wntk.com, look for the podcast across the header, click on podcast, look for Right Side Up, and click the play button. There are numerous shows of ours that you can listen to, and if hopefully you like it, and you'll tell a friend about it.
Yeah, we always love to hear from listeners. This last week or two, we've had several reach out, and that was always good. Always good to hear from folks.
Yes.
So before we get going, just one more thing. You know, I made a big deal out of this baby bond program.
Yes.
We talked about it quite a bit. An idea to give money to children, newborns.
Right. Start a retirement fund for newborns.
Yep. Yeah, anybody that's born that's eligible for Dr. Dinosaur, and we looked into it a little bit. 5,000 babies every year born in the state, plus or minus, and we figure probably 20% of those, on average, are probably eligible for Dr. Dinosaur. So 1,000 kids a year, they wanted to. This is Mike Pichak, coming out of the treasurer's office.
Okay,
he wants to give some of that money away. $3,200 when the kid's born. State's gonna manage it. And then when they turn 18, they give it to the kid. It's another one of the what it was social. What'd you call them? Social motion.
Social promotion.
Social promotion. There you go. Here's another social promotion.
Another social program.
So if you do the math,
us falling on our face.
We love to do math on Right Side Up. Yeah. $3 million a year in a new entitlement program.
Yeah.
Social promotion for every child born that's eligible for Dr. Dinosaur. At 18, according to the bill, they were going to have to pass a financial knowledge test or something. And then there were, I think, five different things that they could spend the money on, according to the bill. Put it in a retirement plan, like Mike said. You could buy a house, start a business, that sort of thing. Well, you know, we always talk about unintended consequences, and I was a certified financial planner. I set up retirement plans for young adults, and I used to love to do that, to get, you know, a 20-some-odd-year-old on their way to saving for retirement and that sort of thing.
Yes.
I tell you what, the younger they were, the more that I could depend on that money being gone within 5 years. Nobody. Really? If you can't convince an 18-year-old that they need to save for retirement, but there is a mechanism where you can get that money out. All you got to do is pay the taxes.
Would you call that a loophole?
kind of. But you know, an 18-year-old's smart enough so that we figured it would probably grow to about $10 million by the time he's 18, $7 to $10 million, depending on how well the state does managing the money. But sure, all you got to do is, I want that money in my retirement plan. So you put it in an IRA, and a month later, 30 days later, he's got $6,500 net of the tax. And what a party they're going to have.
Man.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, and I was convinced that I thought that bill was just sailing through committee. But you know what, Mike? I was wrong. And when I'm wrong, I'll admit it.
So it didn't go anywhere? Oh, wait, no.
Well, it's been stalled.
We'll call it it's been stalled.
Yeah, they're going to put it to a study committee. So for the next year, they're going to pay somebody. They'll get a group.
Spend more money.
Oh, yeah, to look into it some more. Well, and I don't know why. You know, maybe it's because they didn't think the $3,200 a kid was enough. Maybe that's why they got to study it more, Mike. Maybe
there's going to be more wording, more confusing wording, like that last one of our other just the last segment or two ago, where we talked about the devil was in the details.
For the theft,
the misdemeanor versus felony. County. That they need to put some more wording in there.
Well, maybe
there's not enough wording.
Maybe the equitable social promotion is going to require $5,000 to $10,000 when the kid's born. I don't know.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but I will guarantee you this: it's not gone away. It's coming back next year. You know, they'll study it just like they did S5 over the summer. But that one's coming back for sure. Anyway, moving right along here. You know, everybody knows since COVID, the state has housed 1,500 people, a couple thousand people in motels.
Homeless people.
Yeah, okay. You know, even COVID's long gone, but we've got this homeless problem in Vermont, Mike.
That's because we import people to be homeless.
Well, you know, we've talked about that. And I forget now who the individual was, but it was somebody from the state. The state administration actually testified in front of the legislature.
Yeah,
when asked, you know, what's going to happen when they shut these places down, and she said, well, a lot of them will just go home.
They'll go back to wherever it was they came from before they found out that there was such a sweet deal here.
Well, and I tell you what, let's tell the folks what happened. Because a couple of things happened. Governor Scott was successful in reducing the amount reimbursed to the hotels. I think it was $120, $30, $40 a night or whatever, and now it's $80 or $90. Yeah, so there was some savings there.
Like, yeah.
But about a week ago, they decided that 500 of these people were going to have to go. We can't afford the $8 million every month now to house all these people in hotels. And the left came unglued. Oh, my word, what's going to happen? These 500 homeless people, they're destitute. They've got no place to go. And that nasty Governor Scott's going to throw them out in the street.
They didn't go out in the street, did they, Bill?
Well, I tell you what, the left put up such a fuss that Governor Scott and his administration put together four temporary shelters as a transition. And they put up a bunch of cots in four different state-owned buildings spread across the state.
Okay.
So that these people that, you know, have known that this was coming now for 4 years, you know, supposedly didn't know what they were going to do. WCAX interviewed, you know, for two or three nights in a row. Oh, my God, what are you going to do? And I don't know. I'm going to get booted out. I got no place to go. Well, come to find out, 500 people got booted out of the program in the first night. They had four different shelters, one in Burlington, one in Rutland, one in Berlin, and one in Brattleboro. Guess how many people showed up that first night for this transitional housing because they were so destitute?
Oh, my guess was none.
Well, you're almost, Mike, there were five.
Five?
Five. Not 500.
Five.
Five.
So they found better accommodation somewhere else.
Three people showed up in one of the shelters in Burlington, two in Rutland. Nobody in Berlin and nobody in Brattleboro. Five, the first night.
Okay.
The second night, which was a Saturday, seven people showed up in Burlington, two in Rutland again, probably the same two. One showed up in Berlin and nobody in Brattleboro.
So most of these 500 actually did find accommodations somewhere else.
Yes, and better than the cot that the state was offering.
Right.
So well, and it's like the administration, the lady from the administration testified.
And she wasn't.
Probably
she was
most
truthful.
Of them would just go home.
Yeah, so she was being truthful.
Yeah, so night three, 10 actually showed up in Burlington that night. Three in Rutland, somebody brought a friend. The one guy in Berlin left. He got sick of the cot, so they didn't have anybody. And Brattleboro didn't have anybody either. The whole thing set up in Brattleboro never had an individual show up at all the first 3 days. In total, four facilities over three nights, there were 28 people.
Because the left had a conniption.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so I don't know how many millions we spent setting these things up as a transitional thing, but yep. And it wasn't even probably 28 people. There were 28 person nights.
Oh,
yeah, so there were probably more like 8 or 10 people, and there were two or three that, you know, same night.
Right.
And yeah, unbelievable.
Well,
so,
it did prove the point of the administration that these we can't afford it, and we guess what? We really don't need them.
Well, there's a reason that Vermont is the second most homeless state per capita in the country.
Well, if and you it's not because of the weather. Free stuff,
yeah,
they're going to come.
Most states probably don't have give you a hotel room for 4 years.
No.
Yeah, this is crazy. Now, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. We absolutely need a strong social safety net for those that need it.
Right.
But not everybody needs this.
A leg up, not a handout. Yep. It's very simple.
Yep. Yeah, and believe me, there's still 1,000 people housed in those things. I don't think there's 1,000 homeless in Vermont that really need it. I think there's probably still more there that could easily be, you know, find accommodations somewhere else. But you wait and see. The next time that the governor tries to reduce that number again, the left's going to come unglued. Absolutely going to come unglued.
So.
Yeah. Hey, so, you know, we talk about Rob Roper a lot, Behind the Lines.
Oh, yeah,
Substack.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just from yesterday.
Was it that early? Okay, because yeah, I did just look at that recently.
And it was a real quick, short story, but there was a little video included in his column. But the whole thing was about a climate panel. A climate council meeting, and Peter Sterling, who's the executive director of Renewable Energy Vermont, and as Rob called him, one of the chief nitwits in Montpelier, lobbying for every policy imaginable to force you and me to cut our carbon footprint down, got caught on a hot mic.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, if you have time, please go on Rob Roper's Substack. Behind the Lines, and just listen to this video. Look at the video. It'll just give you an idea of the attitude of the people that are trying to wag their finger at you and tell you not to use petroleum products and use only EVs and only electricity and only heat pumps. Listen to the hypocrisy. It'll just make you sick.
Well, apparently Peter Sterling, this executive director of renewable energy, at a climate council meeting, got caught on a hot mic talking about his ski trip to Chamonix, France.
Yeah.
Rob Roper ponders, is he going to jump on Getter? What's her name? Sandra.
Oh, Greta Thunberg. Greta, yeah, there you go.
On Greta's catamaran to get to France? Probably right, not. No. He's probably going to jump on an airliner and burn hundreds of thousands of gallons
you
of
don't think
fuel
he'll
to
take
get
a
to,
hang glider?
Chamonix.
He won't cross the Atlantic on a hang glider?
Unbelievable. Well, and you mentioned our your own rep went to Europe. Was it during their break?
I think
this
it was
last?
During the break, yeah.
Yeah, so last week.
Yeah.
Last week when the legislature was off.
Yeah.
And Carl Demereaux, rep from Corinth,
yeah.
He you know, he's one of these guys. He votes for all this climate stuff.
Oh, I don't. Can't they Zoom meeting a vacation like that? Put on the goggles.
He went to Europe, I guess.
Why can't they do it virtually?
Yeah. Well, I've got one of the select board members right here in town. You know, that's the reason we put $250,000 in a heat pump system is we gotta save the world. But she's originally from England, so she jumps on an airplane, goes to England.
The
hypocrisy is just, you know.
Well, that's the thing. It's one thing if they would live out what they're telling us to do. Live it out loud. Show us how it's supposed to happen.
Oh yeah, yeah. But they don't. They don't care. Like yeah. I said, what are the rules for thee, but not for me.
Yeah.
And what a perfect example. Just unbelievable. Yeah, jump over to Rob Roper's Behind the Lines Substack. It's quite a little video because the whole climate council, they're all on screen on YouTube.
And they can all hear him in the background.
Oh, my God, shut this guy down. But mute him, would you? You know?
Couldn't get him muted fast enough.
Oh, no. So it's kind of funny, but it's not funny. Because this stuff is getting shoved down our throat.
And costing us a fortune.
Causing us a fortune. Absolutely right, Mike. Hey, everybody, stay safe. Stay informed. Listen to Right Side Up. For just a little while, won't you let me try?